Welcome to the Standard Bank CIB Why She Leads podcast. My name is Judy Dlamini, and I will be your host. In this series, Standard Bank CIB shines the spotlight on powerhouse dealmakers. These are women who can stand their own anywhere in the world, but they choose to be with Standard Bank CIB. They are inspired to inspire. And today, I have the privilege and honor to have a conversation with Ashia Jobodwana. She is the executive head of transactional banking for public sector. That's a big client. Welcome, Ashia.
Thank you so much, Dr. Judy. Lovely to be here. Actually, I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Same here. It's an honor to have you. And it's not a hot seat, trust me. It's just a chat. You know, I looked at your profile and I wondered why you decided to go straight into the industry of your choice and not serve articles and do all those auditing things. Why?
Wow. I guess I'm going to have to start with my story of my high school to get to that for you to understand. So I didn't have the privilege of going to a multiracial school, unfortunately. So I started in a township, in a small town called Mbegweni in Paarl, where I went to school at a Desmond Pilototo High School. While I was in school, I mean, a lot of the things I always say, I always joke about this, even in accounting was taught in Xhosa.
Yeah.
You know, everything was taught in their home language. But I was determined to excel because I wanted to get out of the township. It was my ticket out of the township to go to school. Fortunately for me, Ernst & Young came to the school to look for disadvantaged background children that they can sponsor going to university. And I was lucky enough to be one of the students who was chosen that year to be sponsored by Ernst & Young to study at the University of Cape Town doing my accounting, which is what I was good at the time. So I did a BCom accounting in there. While I was studying, I had the opportunity to also work. So I didn't have vacations. Every holiday, I had to come up to Joburg and work at the Ernst & Young offices serving articles. And of course, the CAs that were the working for the company. So I was an intern, for the lack of a better word. And with that experience, I think I quickly learned that my personality and auditing were not gelling. I did not enjoy having to walk into these companies and feel like a school principal trying to see, what have you done? Where did the money go? And et cetera. I wanted to be more on the opposite of, what's happening here? What are you guys doing? So I realized I'm going to be in trouble if I stay in the industry, which is auditing at the time. And yeah, I applied for the graduate program in my final year. I was accepted by Standard Bank, and so they were willing to buy me out. And yeah, the rest is history. That's how I joined Standard Bank. I joined the graduate program and I left the auditing world behind.
You talk about humble beginnings, and but you had the guts to tell a sponsor that you're not feeling this direction. What is it? Is it assertiveness? Is it understanding exactly what you want and going for it? What is it?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both, because even now, I think in my work, I do have quite a lot of assertiveness. And even in my own personal life, if I don't feel something is for me, it is not for me. And I will speak up and raise that. And also, I got to be independent at a very young age. Coming from a really previously disadvantaged family, I applied for my own varsity. I applied for my own bursary. I didn't have people helping me to do that, right? It really does make you more independent and really being clear about what is it that you want to do for yourself. And so, yeah, I think over time, it's just been the fiber of me that I do speak up if I'm not happy with something, if this is not the direction that I want to go, I would definitely say it and say, this is not for me.
It's a good quality to have. So you've been here forever, like...
I've only worked for Standard Bank.
I know, and which is quite interesting because you know what you want. You stay when you're happy. So it means you know why you're here still. If you had to choose to go somewhere else in terms of sector, What sector would you go to and why?
Sure. I've been with public sector for a long time. I started as a, after moving from finance, this is a sector that I moved into in, as a transactional banker. So I always say I'm a civil servant at heart. Government is in me. I've done other things in a bank. I've moved on to card division, but found myself back into public sector again as the relationship manager for the sector and now heading up the sector. But certainly, I'll be lying if I say I don't think about what my next will be or what other sectors would I like to be exposed in. If you look at government, it's very closely linked into infrastructure. Mm. And that's where I'm taking a bit of a liking now and reading a lot about what's happening in the infrastructure. And also it goes hand in hand. When there's no investment by government in infrastructure goes nowhere, right? You do need the government. So that is the sector I think I'm thinking about and wanting to move more into and make an impact on. Yeah, it's just a nice collaboration.
That's interesting. You've gone further, actually, and you started the Women Forum. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I was, it's not something I started, but I raised my hand to run it. Mm. So throughout my career, when I started to being in transactional banking, I actually joined what we used to call diversity and inclusion back then. We now call it DEIEB. It's a very long acronym, but it's about diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging. Mm. So now we call it DEIB. And every business unit of the bank has that, each area. So I started joining it. And in there, I needed to find as part of this forum that way I can make a difference. Again, I looked around. There were aspects. There was disability. There was, race issues. There were different aspects of the forum. But I knew women empowerment is where I have a passion for and wanting to know again, how can we empower the woman in the business development, the woman in the business? So even back then, I raised my hand to say, can I run the stream of the forum, which I was allowed to do that. And we did great work. Just maybe starting, because I was still young at that time as well myself. I wasn't a senior leader in the business, but it was about exposing some of the senior women to us as the young women in the business to get their stories, to hear how they became to where they are, what is it that we can learn from them. So I've grown with that. Now I am heading up the Women Forum for our business unit, where really we cover everything, wellness issues that touch women. Again, you can never expose enough women who've done great things in the business to the incoming women in the business so that they can see there's a future in the business. We still cover a lot of that as well. We did a financial one not so long ago. It's known that as women, we know how to make money, but maybe we don't know how to spend it or invest it to grow it for us. So those are the kind of things we look at and we try and bring to the business. That's what I'm leading currently for my business. Yeah.
Before I move away from women, what will it take to have all the top 5 banks in the country run by women and more presidents of countries being women in the continent? Let's dream. What would it take?
There are certain things that we should be doing or we don't do enough of as women. One, raising our hands for the roles that we want. Be that firm to say, I want Mom Judy's job, right? What does it mean? Would it take for me to be in that role, to be developed, to be in that role, right? We don't do a lot of that versus our male counterparts. They're very bold about what is it that they want and how to negotiate, to go about negotiating for it. We need to be more like that as women as well. I try to say I don't believe it, but it's in there. I can't deny it. The queen bee syndrome, we also still need to deal with that. I'm seeing less and less of it. I think women are getting it now, but we did have a queen bee syndrome for over time where I'm the first, I'm the only one, why should I bring other women on board? There's ways we can make sure we mobilize, other women or even our male counterparts to support us to grow. So I felt like it's a bit of an excuse, but, you can't dismiss somebody's views around those things. So there are certain things that we can do. I think the third one, really, even the book that I enjoy a lot, which is Lean In, spoke about it, that we tend to make even plans for ourselves way before even things happen, right? An example of that was, as a woman, yes, you want to start a family and you get offered a very senior role. You start thinking, but if I take this role, I won't have time for my family. Then you literally decline the role. those are the things the book talks about, that, you know what, if the business unit area really wants you, they will understand when you have to take time off to go start a family and you come back and do what you need to do. And so we need to stop overthinking it and just go for those roles.
That's amazing. Moving swiftly away from that topic that you're passionate about, in your view, what is a virtue that is most underrated, both in leadership and in relationships? Personal relationships, business relationships.
So maybe let me relate to, I was having a meeting with somebody today, personal meeting, where she was relating her story to me. And she kept on saying to me, the one reason why I came to speak to you is because it's amazing how we don't understand that empathy and godly leadership is the reason some of us get attracted to certain leaders and want to go and come in and talk to you. And so one of my bosses in the bank had a lot of empathy. And people thought he was soft because of that. Because again, you're supposed to be driving bottom line, tough and all of that. You know, why are you allowing somebody to come and tell you that they're going through a divorce and that's why they can't deliver? But he made it a point that, you know, the higher you go, and he always used to say this to me, by the way, he's one of my mentors now. The higher you go, your people leadership is more important than your technical leadership, because you've hired people below you that they can do the job, right? You need to be accessible for the other things. I need to be able to come to you and say, you know, I'm going through something. Mm. This is why maybe I cannot be able to deliver on this, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you, so that empathy. And I think we still see it as a soft thing in business, or it's a sign of I'm weak if people come and speak to me about their problems and et cetera and all of that. We underrate it in terms of how we can buy you loyalty from your people. Mm. You know, how people can know that, you know, this is a leader that I can go and speak to about anything and everything. And I was one of those people for that leader that I'm like, yo, I need to deliver for this guy. I can't disappoint him. So if I felt like that, it would be great to know that the people that I lead will feel like that as well, to say, as much as I'm going through something and I know I can speak to her, but I know I also need to make this leader look good because they listen to me, et cetera, et cetera. So we underrate that.
I couldn't agree with you more. It is so underrated. Even in personal relationships, you know, it's love, 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 but just empathy, kindness, you know? You spoke about a mentor, and there is someone who has a note for you. Okay. You might know her, Zen Dlamini.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we'll play that.
Well, I've known Asha for over a decade, and wow, it actually feels like a lifetime. Asha is tenacious. She oozes confidence, is resilient, and very authentic. You know, what you see, it's what you get. She doesn't flip-flop and change. And most importantly, I love the fact that Asha has integrity. She has such a strong moral compass and commitment. I guess this is something that is very big and shows her strong value system, delivering results, looking after a very big team. And we knew, you know, like every other weekend, we knew that they're hosting clients. We knew that they've got some initiatives that they are pushing. And she was in the forefront as a true leader. I know she's got a strong personality and she will ask the questions. We would have loads and loads of debates, and she'd ask why, and I would give her all the answers. She wants facts. She wants empirical evidence. You can't just do a pie in the sky. You know, there's no pie in the sky with Asha, because she's the person that speaks with conviction. As she sits in these committees and she sits in these forums, and she learns. As you show her and then you explain to her, she sees like the best practices, but she learns from that. And then she comes back and then she will ask. She's eager to have the best education. She's did a master's because she's always eager to grow. She'll do various interventions as she believes that education, it empowers you. And it doesn't make her be this arrogant person that thinks that they know everything. But instead, she will always be the modest Asha that we know. She's very strong on mentorship. She said to me, Zeni, we should invest in the growth and development of others. That's always great. She says that about the team. She says that about colleagues across the board. So that is a big thing for her. And women empowerment. For her, women empowerment stands out. I've seen that, and I don't know how many mentees that she's got, but I know that she supports all the way. Are also amazed at the empathy that Asha demonstrates. Asha is one of the very few people that I know will stand at the traffic light. You know, she's on the traffic light. There's a guy standing there with a cardboard written there. I've got a degree, but I can't get a job. Asha is one of the people that will actually take a picture of that cardboard and circulate that to the various tribes, WhatsApp groups, to say that help a folk who's looking for a job with a degree. Guys, let's lend a helping hand, because that's who she is. She always lends a helping hand, understands the needs and feelings of her team, making sure that people are okay, people are not worse off. She seeks feedback all the time. And we always say feedback is for champions. So that makes her a champion, I guess. It's been a great journey watching Asha grow. I know that she will continue soaring and she will continue thriving from the streets of Paarl to an executive in the corporate and investment banking in South Africa and going across, you know, the various regions that we've got. I can just say, Asha, I can't wait to continue celebrating you, because you are definitely a force to be reckoned with, and you are inspired to inspire, as we say.
That's so special to hear from your mentor. I couldn't agree with you more. It makes you the leader that you are. I have to tease out something because of your experience. In this country, we have a lot of, the percentage is very high, of women households, women-led households, right? So you have young women or girls and boys that don't have a father figure, or even just a male figure. You were raised by your grandmother and your mother. What can you say to that child at Paarl, Gugulethu, or anywhere else in this country who actually are facing the same dynamic to say, how will they achieve in life? What should they focus on? Because we do tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we have.
Yeah,
what should you say?
Mm. Look, I think, I mean, if I look at also my own background, is there's a way out, right? If you really are focused and you can, and you can see the stories of the people who've also come from humble beginnings, but look at where they are now. Why can't that be you, right? But don't lose hope. Somebody out there is going to notice you. Ernest & Young noticed me at school. Amongst, you know, I was in a previously disadvantaged school. They came looking for me and they found me. And I always say they came looking for me, because I was the only student was given that bursary that year. And somebody will notice you and give you the chance. But my thing is that when you get given that chance, you need to run with it. You need to run with it, with your life, and make something out of it. I was so antisocial in university in my first year, because I'm like, I'm here on a bursary. I can't be out on a party.
I can't mess up.
You know, when my friends are like, oh, we're going out. I'm like, no, I need to study. Because I knew why I'm there. Yeah. And I knew this is my only way out. Chance, right? So I grabbed it and I ran with that opportunity. And so I think for me, those are the two things that, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Keep on being focused, you know, keep on, you know, doing your best. Somebody is going to notice. And when you do get that chance, You gotta grab it.
Yeah. That's amazing. What do you do for fun?
Wow. I always say I'm probably one of the most balanced people that I know, because I work hard during the week, but yeah. I say even Standard Bank knows Friday when I'm done, I do not touch my laptop unless I have to.
Yeah.
If I have to think about it, so I do spend a lot of time with my husband. Of course, we have date nights every Friday. That's what I look forward
amazing.
To every Friday. That's me just unwinding, letting him into what my week looked like, and you know how hectic it was, etc. So I look forward to that. That's just my Fridays are just for that. Saturdays, I do socialize a lot. Yes, I do have a lot of friends where we catch up and have lunch, etc. But if I'm not doing that, I'm catching up on Korean series. That's one of my favorite things to watch. I watch quite a lot of those Korean series. They're quite amazing. The storylines are quite amazing. And you end up feeling like you understand the language, actually. Also, very highly spiritual. I'm very clear even to my circles that my Sundays are for me and my God. Do not invite me to anything. I'm not going to come because that's just my time, my downtime to just catch up with my God, read up what I need to read up on, watch what I need to watch. I've recently taken up golf. I'm spending a lot of time in the golf course. Now, my Friday afternoons before date night, I'm constantly in the golf course practicing. And it's actually helping a lot to also sometimes just relieve the stress to go hit the balls, and I'm enjoying it.
That's amazing. Does your husband play?
Very good. Well, he's he's a big golfer as well.
Was that the influence or the
bank? No, actually the bank.
Okay.
No, actually it started with the bank. There was a call to say we need a few women to start playing. We've got a lot of golf days in the bank and there's never enough women who participate. And also I got tired of declining clients' invites when they invite you to a golf day. I'm like, but I don't play golf. I was like, actually, why not?
Why
so
not?
It was more the bank's influence than anything. My husband won't even play with me. He's very clear that until I get to a certain handicap, that's the only time we'll play together.
He's quite snotty, right?
Yeah. So I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Where are you from here?
Wow. I mean, I've got quite a lot of things I still like to achieve in the role that I'm in. I've been only in this role for 2 years now, still very new for me. There's a lot to learn. And I mean, as I said, there's other sectors I'd like to be exposed to. You know, you don't want to be known as a government person forever as well.
Yeah.
Right? So there's definitely a lot of scope of still learning where I am in the business. But ultimately, I mean, I always say I love the sales space. I love the relationship management space. I'm definitely in the right place to grow into the space. I'm the head of public sector. There's a head of sales across. Why not his role?
Yeah.
Why not in future be the next head of sales who looks after the entire mining, industrial, different other sectors, not just public sector? So there's quite a lot of growth that's there for me in the business.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's in your bucket list?
Sure. Traveling to Greece at some point in time. I was supposed to travel sometime this year. It's just we had quite a lot at work, so I couldn't travel. Yeah. But I'd love to do that. You know, not getting any younger. We are talking about starting a family with my husband, so I'm looking forward to how that will turn out as well.
Just
being a happy person altogether and being content. That's for me is more important for me right now.
I think the matriarchs did a good job because you focus on the right things. It really is about being happy. It's about caring for the next person, and you've done so well. And Umakhulu must be looking down with pride, and congratulations on the journey thus far. I can't wait to see where it takes you. But it was such an honor to meet you and chat to you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Judy. Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was lovely.